Spirit, I need you. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. In thine own gentle way.
Come
in thine own gentle way. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, in the depths of our hearts as we gather here today, first service, Lord, in this series of consecration meetings, we desire to have to come, Lord God, because we realize there's a need in our lives for a closer walk, a deeper experience, a richer life in Christ, a more spiritual life in this hour. And Lord God, as we realize, Lord, we live in this time when you promise, I will restore. There is to be a full restoration, Lord, and we know and are persuaded because of your word and how you have dealt with our hearts. And we are at the time when these things are to become a living reality inside of us. And Lord God, something moves us in our hearts to draw away and step aside and sever ourselves for a while and come into your presence and seek you and strengthen the things that are weak and the things that remain amongst us, Lord. It will not die, and we will be built up in the most holy faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we realize in our very own lives there have been things that we have neglected, Lord, that have caused us, Lord, to not be where we ought to be and not have the victory as we should and not see, Lord, the Spirit work in our lives and move in our midst as it should. And Lord God, we've come today to confess our wrongs and our shortcomings, our mistakes and our failures, our disobedience, Lord. Lord God, for we realize not many more days, Father. And Lord God, we come here to tarry and to wait, and we ask for the patience of the Holy Spirit and for the grace of God to search our lives and search our hearts in sincerity before you, and to come with a spirit of truthfulness even from the inward parts, dear God, and to come, Lord, in humility. And dear God, we pray that your precious blood, as we plead today, would blot out our transgressions and our sins and our iniquities, dear God, and the Spirit of God would come upon our lives, Lord, and begin to lead us and begin to direct us. For we know it's not by might, but by power of thy Spirit. You said when my people who's called my name would humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, you would hear from heaven, you would answer, oh God. And that's how we come, Father, consecrating ourselves for this great thing that is about to take place. And we just pray, oh God, that as we stand naked and empty before you, your Holy Spirit, the all-sufficient one who knows what we have need of, will just deal with us and minister unto us, Lord, and move upon us, oh God, that these services, Lord, could be in such a way to meet the need that we have, and we can see it is beneficial to us, Lord, as we partake and see the strength that we receive and the nourishment and being built up by the Holy Spirit and being strengthened, Lord, that we can take our place and hold our testimony and let our light shine through in this hour. Oh God, I pray you bless your children for sacrificing and laying aside everything and rearranging the schedule and taking time off to be here. It shows that there's a hunger. It shows there's a need. It shows, Lord, they recognize it, Lord. There's a thirst in their hearts. They want more of you. As the song says, more of you, more of you. We cry, Lord, for more of you, empty and bare. Oh, God, hear our prayer today. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, be the author of these services. Oh, God, be the one who will lead us and guide us, provide and supply all our needs. We'll be the one who will finish the work, oh God, as we come humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, inviting your presence today, and asking divine leading and direction in all to be said and done. And even, Lord, we endeavor to speak to the people and settle their hearts and open the channel, oh God, we all could be participators in the Spirit would minister unto us as you see fit. Dear God, may you have your way. And dear God, may all be done in decency and in order pleasing in thy sight, for we come to want to please you. We want to come, oh God, not our will, but thy will be done. We come to let go and let you have your own wonderful way, Lord. And oh God, maybe at hour when there'll be such strength coming to the hearts of your believers in this hour, that we can see the effect in their homes, in the assembly, in the individual lives, in their families, oh God, in every brother and sister, in every member of the body of Christ. Oh God, we can just see the kingdom of God advancing and being built up in this hour to fulfill all you have spoken and allotted for this generation. Granted, Father, we pray that we might be better instruments of thy service, and that your perfect will be done and accomplished. Your name will be magnified and glorified in them that believe, and you will fulfill the work of faith with power. We pray and we ask these things. We commit ourselves into your hands now, thanking you and asking your blessing and leadership in all that we do. For we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Turn around with your brother and sister. God bless them. Amen. We're certainly glad to be here again. All who are now coming, may God bless them. Amen. Amen. Some of making so many brothers coming. May God bless them richly by the grace of God. Oh, we just feel such a sweet presence here already, and the warmth of the Holy Spirit and the freedom for expression. We just know that He will just be with us in a special way. Amen. Let's just sing a little bit. Longing for Jesus, if that's how you feel. Amen. While we're here, I was thinking this morning, coming like, oh God, there's a thirst, as your heart panted in this weary land that we live in this dry and thirsty land. Amen. Where no water is, but may we find that fountain today. May we find that great Holy Spirit, that satisfying portion that could bring such a revival in our souls in this hour. Amen. That's the longing we have to be with Jesus. Amen. Longing for Him. Amen. Oh, longing, longing, longing for Jesus. Oh, sing to the Holy Spirit. I have a longing in my. Oh, let him see it, let him feel it, let him know that your sense is true. Oh, just to be near him, just to be near him. Oh, to feel his presence, to feel his presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Oh, sing that song, longing for Jesus. Longing. Oh, yes, Lord, that's how we feel. Longing for Jesus. Oh, don't you have that longing, children? I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to be near Him as we draw closer while we sing. Just to be near, oh, so near until we can feel His breath breathing upon us. To feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart. Oh, more of you, more of you. More of you. More. Sweetly, softly, quietly, in the spirit. Of things I've had my fill, oh, but yet I hunger still. But yet I hunger still. Empty and bare. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, that's all prayer. For more of you. Let's make that prayer to him one more time. More of you. More of you. Hallelujah. More of you. Is that your cry? I cry, Lord. That's what I need. Just more. Oh, how we've come to recognize that in our lives. Of things I had my fill. Of things I've had my fill. But yet I hunger still. But yet I've hunger still. Empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer. For more of you. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat? I believe that that's what we want to remember. That's why we're here. That's our prayer. That's the theme of our services. In this daytime, more of you. You know, it started, you know, I think I told you it was in Tucson. I was there. And, you know, it's strange. God has a way that he takes you places and deals with you in places. And so many times I come up from Tucson and preach many different things and do many different things. And I always don't know why. And come back and, you know, with these services in my heart, and then, you know, being to play the tape, yeah, and the Saddison Age, and Brother Bram speaking on that tape, and saying, you know, we're going to have the church open today, we're going to have the people come in and pray, and be along the altar, we're going to listen to the tape, we're going to pray, we're going to see the Holy Spirit, and beginning to preach these services, it seems that, you know, right away, there's a connection. You know, sometimes you minister and you go away and you travel and you come back and the people don't see you for a long time and you're kind of glad you come back and have all that to go with it. But, you know, yet I could have feel that there was something in the hearts of some people that they wanted something more. When the hour we need something more. And, you know, I come back with the same to my heart. Yes, Lord, I, you know, we get so close to the things that God revealed last year. Like it brought your heart so close right up before the Lord and give you such a expectation the inside that you sense that something should happen or should move. And, you know, God has ways to draw us. He do something for us, and it makes us want to dedicate our life. He do something for us, want to make us consecrate. He do something for us, give him be a dream, show yourself in a certain condition. And he does, and you get yourself doing things. Like with Jacob that time at Bethel, and he had that dream, and, you know, he said, my, this place is the house of God, there's the gate to heaven. And he said, Lord God, if them things you told me in the dream, if you'd be true to me and you do those things, see, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be faithful. And he began to make pledges to God. I know God know what he can give to us to get us more dedicated. He knows what he can give to us to make us want to separate from the things of the world. And, you know, when we have things like that, we desire more because of the blessing it brings in our life, of the liberty we feel. And we say, yes, from now I'm going to read more because I was reading that book and the Lord just dealt with me, my, just, you know, spirit came so real. I had such a blessing, you know, and something supernatural happened. And right there, you find you want to begin to read more. Maybe eventually after a while it leaves you and you just, you know, just maybe leave it alone. But, you know, when we see things like that begin to happen, you know, if we're only sensitive, if we're not impatient and we understand him, then, you know, we say, okay, Lord, you know, maybe that's what you want me to do. All right, Lord, you've been just kind of get yourself together, because you see, God is not in a hurry. We are the ones in the hurry. And he said, because you've kept the word of my patience, I will keep in the hour of temptation. And that hour is moving in upon us greater and greater. And we see the crisis coming everywhere, motivated by the economic situation. Because it's going to wind up in a control of the church, controlling everything, church and state, because of economics. They're going to buy or sell. That's how it's going to come through. And that's where the pressure is going to come on the people to get into the system to be able to live, buy and sell. And the way it is coming in a disguised form. And he said, watch, it's going to come, it's going to begin to labor and union and come. And you know, yesterday, one of the brothers was home there, fellowship with my sins by me, and, you know, just talking about many different things. And right there, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, just had Brother Mulligan to call me. He says, you know, like, we're going to have a national strike this week, and he was down in Germany. He just felt moved to tell me. He says, okay, so I mentioned it to them. I says, you know, that. And we didn't discuss it any further. But, you know, is all these things coming on this guy's form? And it's things that begin to aggravate the people. Because the natural man, that's what aggravates him. Jesus says, you either serve God or mammon. Well, you get against a Christian God, you serve his righteous indignation. You get against the next man God, you serve his righteous indignation too. No, his unrighteous indignation, I should say. And then he begins to protest because, you know, you threaten his lifeline. Your lifeline is faith. You see? So you find what is happening. And the one who is controlling these things, that monster is going to show its face just now. Not too long again. And then what is behind the scenes manipulating these things that are on stage, you're going to see it, and it's Satan. It's already been revealed to us how he gathered the wealth of the world, how he united his powers in this day, how he's bringing everything to a crucial hour. And the reason that was given to the church, and they say, why would God tell us sit and gather in religion? Why would it to be interested to us? I mean, I try to live a better life. I try to get my children in school. I try to get my children delivered from the world. I try to get more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Where does God send a prophet to tell me sit and gather in religion, politics, and demon powers? What for? What would I have to do with me? I want to go to heaven. That's earthly things. Now, the natural man could think so if they won't. You see? But the thing is, when you watch and see, God knows exactly how the pressure is going to come on the church and what is going to get the church ready. So you should not be caught in those things. You see? And that's why all that is going on, God has revealed to the bride ahead of time that we should be ready, that when that comes on, there will be a church ready. And if we are that, then there is something inside of us. We'll begin to crave it when the time starts drawing near. Because it's a law always, when the time of promise gets near, it sets the people to hunger and praying. Now, maybe you know that it's get praying, you want to start off in your home, God delivered you and said, I'm going to start praying. And it just don't seem like your feet hold out. And you say, well, you know, I'm going to try to take time to read and read my work and do my housework, so I just don't work out. And sometimes, you know, you find like, you want to do it, you felt with the love of the Lord. Then you get a mind battle after it. I wonder if it's the Lord, I wonder if it's myself. But it's well with the Lord many times. But you see, sometimes the way we go to do it, we get problems, we get hindered. And then sometimes the church, it helps the fire going when a few strong ones come together who have the same kind of experience. Then it gets a blaze, and then each one can really have a fire to light their own home a fire, you see? And this is where, as a family in Christ, this is needed, that we can really, by the grace of God, you know, come and begin to really have a time like this. And I'm sorry, maybe not have adequate seats, but have a seat here. One of your sisters can take one here if they want and take this chair. Amen. We got another chair here. We can take this chair here. We have two chairs here. And we might be packed a little tight, but we're just giving him a couple hours anyhow, so it don't matter much. Amen. We're going to try to, to make better arrangements as how we can improvise each time. But there's a meeting for you, for the people, all the meetings for the people, but in a more personal way, I should say, for you. And as I said, I'm going to use this first service to just kind of speak a little bit to you. We can have our hearts settled, we can have the channel settled, we can know what we come for. We don't want to kind of rush nothing in the sense of try to rush to grab, like God has something, you're going to try to grab it before it disappears. No, we predestined to receive it. Amen. We have to come sanely, intelligently, right in the word, not haphazardly, with faith, knowing that God is not an Indian giver, though. God will give and take back, God don't lie, God don't make false promises. No, God has no problem this morning, the problem is us. Amen. It's for us.
And the very fact that he called us and have kept us all these years, even though we have not given him our all, yet it shows his determination to give unto us it, because, and that's why we recognize him more and more in that grace. And now let me feel him press a little more, and we feel his spirit run us a little more, and the time is getting later, then we want to really move in a little more by the grace of God to really get a hold of these things. Remind me, just do something before we leave. I want that when we get here, I would have asked everybody just to stand up and say the name. Just say, Sister Merle or Brother Alexander, the name that the saints know you by, so everybody would know that person. Maybe you could do that right now. Just start from here, the sisters. And you see, we don't want no strangers. When I say don't know strangers, I don't mean a stranger invited. I don't want to put anything there, nobody don't know them, and be here together as part of the body of believers. All these little things where we're going to get weed out, all these little areas. So then that brings a complex, and a person really can't get in the word, they can't get in fellowship, and they remain weak and can't be strengthened because they don't have nobody to talk to. They don't have nobody to fellowship, they don't feel free. And there's a barrier to break, and they may need a little help to break that barrier. They need somebody to be a little more considerate to look at them. And I'll tell you something, when we get in these services, you're going to find out we're going to get to a place where the power that we're looking for is divine love. You're looking for a boom and the roof blow off and you're, woo! But that was the same. No, you're looking for divine love. And the power that's going to move is a brother and a sister. Brother and sister shaking a sister's hand, hugging a sister's neck. You see, it's in Christ until Thursday, I'm going to see you again. You know what I mean? Something real where the family that pray together could stay together by the grace of God. So just let me know and let the others know. I want everybody to listen and know your brother, know your sister. Amen? The sister is going to speak a little bit, so I would like maybe to just look in the Bible. Maybe you could get a Bible to me and find a Hebrews, maybe the scripture. Certainly happy for the turnout and the interest generated, and I really know there have been many saints being designed something like this. Maybe just didn't put it in the words, but in the heart, just wanted something like this that you could really get together and pray and study the word and be strengthened where they see a need in their life, minister to personally, and that's why we want to do this. I'm going to begin with Hebrews 3:7 to Hebrews 4:1 as a little background for our beginning here today. It says here, and we're going to read, "Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation or trial in the wilderness. When your fathers put me to the test, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation." You know, it's strange how God says, Spirit of God is grieved. And I think we'll always do good to any sincere Christian to know the things that grieves the Holy Spirit and to see how God behaves and reacts when he has been made to grieve. See, when they grieve, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Don't know how to say it. Don't know how to do something. Just in their heart. That's where it starts. In their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now get, they came out, but God said they will not enter in. He didn't say I will not bring them out. He brought them out. He took them in the journey. But he swear I will not take them in. They have made me to grieve. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Three times already he mentioned the heart. Harden not your heart. They do always err in their heart and an evil heart of unbelief. And this message came to do what? Turn the heart back to the faith of the fathers. So the heart condition we want But exhort one another daily. And these are things we want to strengthen amongst us, become a practice, become part of our life, cultivate within us. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The Spirit of God can't really reach a hardened heart. Stephen said, you uncircumcised hearts and stiff necks, resisting the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost calling for sacrifice. Holy Ghost calling for consecration. Holy Ghost calling to lay aside the sin. Holy Ghost calling to get closer. Holy Ghost calling to make your wrongs right. Holy Ghost calling to repent. But they resist the Holy Ghost. They harden their heart towards the Holy Ghost. And what they do? They begin to get hardened. And they cultivate, because of sometimes shame and pride, they cultivate within themselves a spirit that will not want to repent, because people are going to see me and talk about me and laugh at me, and I'm not going to say nothing, and God will have to deal with me this way. Until eventually they can't get no more conviction. And they come hardened. They can't even cry. When they go to God, they make a lecture because they don't feel nothing in their heart. If they do wrong, they hurt somebody, they either say, what, a baby, and find something else to justify maybe the wrong action to the person. Just get hard. Hard. And look how he's pleading with them. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, and this is something I want to speak on this morning, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Fourth time, he's speaking about the heart becoming hard. As in the provocation. For wherefore, when they had provoked, did not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, and that was in the first Exodus, wasn't them the people who see the prophet, who saw the pillar of fire, who came out under the message? At first you can see them Egyptian hard, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Is that right? But then the Bible now is talking about the children of Israel who believed the prophet message, their heart was hardened now. Listen carefully. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Paul is beginning an argument. You see, he's asking questions and giving answers. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not. And now he draws his own conclusion. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come. Say it. Seem to come short of it. That's the problem right here with us. We are settling for an incomplete something. The word didn't promise this is where God wants to take us. And stop here. But some of us become contented and we stop right there. And anything gets a little hard on the flesh to go on further, it becomes a battle. It becomes like a challenge in the life. It becomes like it can even discourage them to go back. It seems like God is unjust and unfair to make that kind of demands. And what did the Jews say? We will not have that man, Christ Jesus, rule over us. Now today, he wants to rule over us, but a different kind of way. Is the Holy Spirit want to rule in our hearts? Take our feet and use it for his purpose. Take our eyes and use it for his purpose. Take our lips and use it to surrender it. Why would God ask for us to surrender it when he's the owner of it and he's the builder of it? He built it. Then he bought it with his own blood on the cross. And then he turned around and asked you to use his own property. And then we turn around and resist. And say, I will not have you to... You know, a man built a house and a man renting it. And you say, I would like to have my house, please. You know, I'd like to come and occupy it. It's mine, a labor, a sweat, a toil. You know, I save my money, I build this house. And, you know, I let you use it for a while. And now I'd like to have it. And you say, you gotta get the police to get me out of here. All to advantage us. So why are I come out? Why you can't go to the next house? He said, but this one is mine. I have no, you know, you shouldn't be getting like that with me. You should recognize me as the owner. You should be showing some appreciation. As a matter of fact, the years you live in the house, look how you desecrate it. Look how you're treating the house to begin with. And not only that, I just want to repair it, I want to make it completely new and immortal. That will never ever one day be sick no more. We'll never one of a weak eye or get a headache in it or get a bad feeling, nothing at all. And we are still determined to advantage us. You bowl. I mean, you can't build the next one if you want one. He rich, he can build the next one. He's the creator, he's giving the next body to himself. No. It takes maybe some crude little expressions like that to show us sometimes how arrogant some of us really are. But we don't see it because we don't look at it in that manner. And as we approach the Lord in these services, we are so desiring that it would be one that would strengthen the church as a whole. But we find out the way to strengthen the church is for the people to become strengthened. And I was saying yesterday, you know, sometimes I can't see so-and-so in church, I can't see so-and-so. Well, let's start with you. When it starts with you, you'll start to see it. Because really and truly, when you see that, you're looking to see it in somebody and not your own self. You and God didn't tell you, I called so-and-so. God, you here because you think God called you. You see? And it's like an old denominational concept. But when we begin to study these things and see there's such a need, because we have lost quite a few young people recently, and some elder ones too. And you know, it's hard when you lose people that you know, when you examine the circumstances under which they were lost, and then you examine the effort that was made to stop them and hinder them from getting away from the presence of God. You know, sometimes we say, if they elect God, will bring them back. If they elect God, will get them. And we fail to realize, God says, so what I die on the cross for, shed my blood, sanctify you to come and live inside you to do. For you to sit on a pavilion and watch me at the pillar of fire come down and move all over the place and do things? Oh, I thought, what do you want the Holy Ghost for? Just to secure your passage to heaven? Or that you're making yourself available that I could do the work that I say I will do through somebody. That I could get a body prepared to come and dwell in and work through. Because these things are not settled in people's heart when they think of the Holy Spirit. And now at the prophet page, what is the Holy Ghost? And we'll be taking some nuggets out of those messages for these services as we go along. What is the Holy Ghost? What is it given for? Why was he doing that? To get the people into the attitude so they can receive it and know what it's sent for. Because he said, if you don't know what it is, how are you going to receive it? Because you have things in people's lives that block them from getting the Holy Ghost, and they never know if that blocks them from getting the Holy Ghost. Because the whole attitude in design and wanting the Holy Ghost is the wrong motive for getting the Holy Ghost that God sent the Holy Ghost for. And when they get to pray, that blocks it and it directs the prayer away from God and away from the channel of the Word of God out into oblivion. And they think they're acting right, but they fail to realize if God is going to put His Spirit, which is God is going to come and live in you, He's going to come and live in you on a purpose to keep His own word. Because He's going to make you what? Co-workers with Him by the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. So then if you don't even desire to participate in the service of God and want the Holy Ghost, then you don't know what you're asking for. Then you have no need of wanting it. Because God can't sell it into a person that's going to stagnate it and paralyze it and keep the Holy Ghost from fulfilling the purpose the Holy Ghost wants to come into the person for. And I was reading some things about little church history and so on, how God moved in different ages. And it's amazing to see when many of them leaders begin to find the things that hindered people from getting the Holy Ghost. And when people were converted and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they came and began to make the confession of what blocked them for years from receiving it, was my little thoughts in their heart when they get on to pray. And while they're praying, little desires or little thoughts or little things come upon them, and they're so knowledgeable in the prayer, they just drive the prayer around it and keep praying and going. I will never face that thing and make those things right. Who had loved fashion? Who had loved worldly things? Who had loved that? But they wanted the Holy Ghost. Because if God gave me, let Him give me on these terms. And God is saying, put that away and I'll give it to you. And they rasped in their mind, and right there, they had a block in the channel, couldn't get the Holy Spirit. And every time they come up like, they pray and reach nowhere. Until they realized it was little things like that. Because you know what the word says? A little level leavened the whole lump. And there you watch and see the type of sincerity it calls for. A man without the Holy Ghost, he's going to disgrace the church and disgrace God. And if a man understands what the Holy Spirit is, sees the life of Jesus Christ, sees the life of those the Holy Spirit dwelt in the Bible, sees himself without the Holy Spirit, and still desire and prefer his life than a life filled with the Holy Spirit, either that person a mental problem or something, or they write with, they never see the God. Because when a man sees the life of Christ really before him, the first right away you'll see your own shortcomings. You'll be challenged with things. I wish I could live that way. I'll be saying, I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give when it seems there's no more to give. You understand what I mean? You never see him fight up and get your mind back and first. No, what was doing it? It was the Father that dwelleth in him was doing it. Father wasn't doing the works, because if I say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. He was pleased by the way he laid down his life, not just on the cross, but every way he laid down his life. Because he always said, not my will, but thy will be done. I can do nothing if the Father for assuming. Showing the type of submission and preeminence he gave the Father to operate in his life. Showing the kind of sacrificial life that he lived for man and for God. When he said, my meat is to do to finish the work. And a person desiring the Holy Spirit, that is where you ought to sort of look to desire the Holy Spirit. Not, if I don't get, I'm going straight to hell. Oh yeah, sure, you'll go straight to hell if you don't get it. But then, say, to get it, just go to heaven and serve God. So just when you think of the flames and the fire, and you think of the worm that don't die down there, and you think about nobody to laugh down there, or no happy time, and you want to get away from that, you're coming to the wrong channel. If you get scared. But then you shall see a more meaningful life. You shall see the plan of salvation. You shall see why God designed it that way. You shall see something that is so far beyond what we can do. As the prophet made the illustration the other night. If they would let me live for 10,000 years as a king every day. Servants everywhere. Joy completely for 10,000 years. Not one moment of silence. Everything I want. What have I called for? Or to continue this way. And just have eternal life. For the next few years until I die. Which one would you prefer? He said, let me say this way. Because when you know what eternal life is, 10,000 years will fade away like that. and for billions and billions, and we can't all figure, we have no beginning, no end. And that is not a fictitious thing. The book has been opened now. One have crossed beyond the curtain of time, met the people, saw the people who live here, living there too. And surely they'll die. And then the proof, he wasn't making up. He went in the Bible and showed Moses, after the man had died, hundreds of years after, was with Jesus and Mount Transfiguration. Showed Samuel, all of them. Showed Jacob, all of them, after they died. Even before they born, when he took those things on the inside life, show where they went. So then we realize, one of the first things that strike us about the Holy Ghost is life. Because what we live in is death. What real life is. Not this perverted life. Real life. And that's a life that if we have or we could give to one another, it would really strengthen one another. And many of those have been weak and remain weak because those they were wrong never had life to give them. And the life they had never made them concerned enough to reach them and live for them. Then we become responsible. It becomes like a tree who casting forth a fruit untimely. We read in the Bible on the sixth seal. Cast them on the figs. Because why? Before the state of ripe and grown mature on the tree, she cast them and she just threw them off in the wind. And when a woman is like a tree, just throwing off her children, like the church, throwing off her children. And they don't grow to nothing. They don't come to fruit, they want to plant it. Then, what is it? They are lacking in the tree. There is something that needs there. And you know, seeing these things, and there is things in the people that you desire to see, reaching and looking. And maybe God knows, I mean, I'm searching my life to a lot. Maybe there's many things I maybe looking for that I need to have in a richer, in a deeper way. Need to have in my life if I can see in the people's life. And then it means that when we see those things, how we ought to really come to a place to really, you know, see these things, do something about it, rather than see the wither and die. If you keep throwing off like that, then what are you going to come to? Then what are you going to be our testimony? Then the Holy Spirit would have failed to achieve what he wanted through us. Not he's a failure, but like we became a failure to him by he not being able to accomplish what he wanted through us. And in coming back and speaking these messages, these things begin to strike me. And I look at the people and I thought, I says, there's like a response in the hearts of the people, like they really, you know, want, desire something more. And a service like this would be the right thing to come in and really pray and we could discuss. There's many of the brothers that are unemployed, live in hard times. But then I believe, I say, God is Jehovah Jireh. If God will employ maybe a certain job, a certain place, God could reveal to us what to do. That he can bless for that person to help them make the way. I believe that. Because God is very mindful about what testimony his people who he raised up to testify of him in the generation he raised up, what kind of testimony they have with the public. And then the Bible speaks such strong words about heretic and infidel. The people that don't have a job, then those things is avenues where people have a real testimony. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will associate such strong, blasphemous words with a person in that condition. You know what I'm saying? So then if a person has children, then which person can stand and see the children hungry? Daddy. Which person can enjoy going around, you know, bombing here, bombing there. And then you have faith in God who called you. And I say, you know, many times we don't get together and pray about some of these things. Like if we think that, you know, God ain't going to answer. We want to just pray for our sick. And sometimes here a situation, God meet only, he's Jehovah Jireh. In so much, God gave promises in this age that he said, you'll have faith and multiply the bread and the fish when the time comes, that I will keep in your temptation. All that squeeze they try to put upon you economically wouldn't hinder you because I am with you. So in other words, God has already given assurance he's going to meet them conditions. He's going to take care of it. And then you have people amongst us that are sick and need deliverance. And you know, services are geared, you hear Brother Ram said many times, he says, you know, Then preaching is one anointing, teaching the word. He said, and praying for the sick is another anointing. We don't really, we'll have a prayer request for a person, but we don't work in that anointing really, to spend 90% of your service on praying for the sick and 10% teaching. We'll have maybe 95% teaching and 5% praying for the sick. And if somebody have an outstanding thing, and we are in the prayer meeting or something like that. And then, you know, sometimes when you see it fail to help some of the people, then if you're concerned, you say, Lord, maybe our method of doing it or the emphasis we put upon it was insufficient, but your atonement is complete and perfect, and by your stripes they heal. But so the thing is, we don't need a new atonement, we need to change our approach to it. Put more emphasis on the thing, because why? That is where the body is being affected, when a lot of the people is being hindered in these areas. So that's why many times we have prayer meetings, people come up to prayer meetings and they don't know what to pray about as regards the church. And we have many people who is part of the body in the church that really need help, families, you know, going through some real hard times, you know, families breaking up, children turning delinquent, some sick, breadwinners in the family, can't work, different things. And in vital places in the body being affected, because homes have been affected, and some of those homes is the one who really contributes spiritually to the body in a really effective way. So then now they have to change, you know, and rearrange themselves in their home to try to meet the needs that they have, and then they can no longer participate in the service of God as they should. So then, spiritually, you find things in the body being affected. And then sometimes you look to see how much time was really, you know, taken in prayer as regards the situation, and was approached, and who had believed. Because first to approach God for any situation, you have to believe that God is going to take care of it, that God promised to take care of it. If you don't have a promise, then you don't really have a channel, really. When you have a promise, God already said he will do it before you even had the need. But now you have the need, the promise becomes relevant to you. But remember, before you had the need, it's already written in the word. So that means God intends to do it and want to do it. And once you look at it that way, you realize, oh, wait, now, God put it in the word. It's amazing in your house, in your home, you don't use. In your cupboard, your cooking and everything else. And the day you want to cook a certain thing and you have to use that, you take it out right and use it. But then you cover it all the time. And when you went to the grocery and making a grocery, you buy it and put it there. So you can use it. And the same way with God's word. But the thing is, many times, sometimes our privacy, we have a very private way to. And it's a right privacy and it's a wrong privacy. Sometimes you have things to be private about, sure. And then there are things you don't need to be so private about. But some people don't have the balance. They live such a secretive life, and the way they grow up so secretive, which is really a mistrust and a shame of something. Those things stem from, and it hinders the prayer. And they don't know those things hinders the prayer. But the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, so prayer would not be hindered. Right? In other words, exposure is good for effective prayer. And some of those we don't learn. And God is bringing things like that sometimes to deliver us completely from ourselves. But because God has so much promises, we think, well, we'll just resort to another one that don't seem to implicate us in a way that we have to come out with the thing we're going to be secretive about. And that's where the problem comes. Because sometimes you need to get somebody who, you know, is a well-praying soul and says, you know, I want you to be praying with me about these things. And then at times you may tell you may bring it to the church and you want the church to pray with you about it. See? Because why? You know the word says, if two shall agree, it doesn't touch anything. So you look for a praying soul. Not just anybody or any sister but somebody who may have the spirit of prayer. No, a person may not be not a genuine Christian because they may not have that. But sometimes I have some people given that ministry. They would stay there and hold that before the throne of God and plead. And like Jesus tells the story about the widow. And he tells the story of you know, the man who knocked on the friend in the middle of the night and persisted until the friend opened the door and gave him what he had enough. And the woman, the unjust judge. How she prayed and prayed and prayed until he said, let me give this one speed before she, you know, just annoy me. Day and night, she can't worry me constantly with this thing. And he says, so it is, to be persistent. And that's some have that. To stay there and hold that thing right there until God answers. And that is why it need to know one another, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. As we read about the Apostle James, they say when he died, they discover when they saw his knees. The man's knees was as rugged like a camel knee. You know a camel, every time they go on the knee, right? They say from excess praying, the man's knee became, and the prophet just talked about bagged knees in your pants. James had it in his skin, not his pants, in his skin. You see what you're talking about? So unless those things is not cleared up and get into a certain channel, people, they just find themselves grabbing through the senses and they think they are having faith. But you see, faith does move through your motive and your objective. Faith don't move from your feeling. Unless you don't know you're justified in asking what you're asking for, you can't have faith. You're bluffing that thing. Now you say a bluff is not a powerful thing. Devil have no power, he just bluff us. You know what I'm saying? And look at what influence that have on you. And a lot of people bluff their way through life until they reach a real situation of faith and then they crack up. And how come that brother, all of a sudden? A lot of people have been successful bluffing themselves through, playing their way through. And that's why God is speaking to them here. He says, your heart become hard to deceitfulness of sin, which later call because of their unbelief. So how it hardened because their unbelief, living there, making excuses for this, giving reasons for that, with people don't want to face the truth. It breaks them down sometimes, it humbles them. And in doing that, they are resisting the Holy Spirit, who is knocking on the door, trying to get them to say, if I die, if I shed my blood, if I was wounded for your transgressions, and you isn't born yet to go and commit the first sin. If I was bruised for your iniquity, when you know it's right, you didn't do it. You see? When you watch those things, you think of it, every evil thought. If every time you get sick, and I know you have to go through a time in a mortal body until I change it. And because you inherit a body of corruption because of your parents, you might be pure in your soul, but your body is a corrupted body. Why? You inherit that from your parents. Your parents inherit from their parents, and their parents go right back to Adam and Eve, and the fall took place, and the first man is born by sex. And then been hybrid, right until this time. I know what you're going to go through and be faced with. So by my stripes, I died and you could be healed. So as far as it being settled and having it, there's no... A person said, but I need deliverance this morning. You can have it this morning before you hit that door. You can go home free. But sometimes they think, well, I don't understand the way that man, he's a holy man, God will hear his prayer. You better believe too. See? And then some of you may take chances before a man who don't have the Messiah sign. But if you're in the prophet meeting, you show him, walk on that platform and say, yes, so and so and so. Yes, I didn't laugh. I bet you confess that. That thing there first. But sometimes, because a man don't have to give a discernment to know what you're thinking or what you did last week or sit over and describe the place or what you were thinking while going to a certain thing, you will not know. So sometimes you think, well, you'll bluff your way through that when you should be truthful. And when you get a prayer and you try to bypass those things in your prayer, real, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Dear, because you are not being truthful, you are trying to claim something wrongfully, you're trying to misuse something sacred. You're trying to get a hold of something and unrighteously partake of something that he gave his life. When you see somebody give their life to show the extent of the love, the greater love of humanity, to secure it, to make sure that you will never ever be able to be bluffed out or lose it because he did it for you. And then somebody trying to come in the end, cheat to get it. How could he honor that? Then it makes all what he did for the genuine believer void. Do you realize that?
Sure.
But you see, this way, it takes sincerity. Now the word says, be more sincere. We say, yeah, Lord, help me to be sincere. But be sincere about what? And where is the places in your life you need the sincerity? And where is the place in your life you're unsincere about? Otherwise, you're just saying, I want to be more sincere, I want to be more sincere. I'm trying to be sincere. And you don't know what you're unsincere about to begin with. You know where you're going to start to begin to be sincere. And it's not a mental thing like a cap you put on. It's from the inside coming out. See? So, you know, I am believing, as Brother Abraham says, and those messages was the Holy Ghost, or was the Holy Ghost given for, that, you know, he says, how could you receive it if you don't know what it is? And what it's given for, and what results it brings when it comes. And that's what I'm telling you. You have to know why, what it is, and what he sent it for in this day. And as you live in this day, if it comes into you, what result it's going to bring in your life, and what it's going to make you do, and what it's going to make you line up with, and what testimony you'll have after it has come into you. And that's why when I say many people don't have the Holy Ghost, then if I'm going to take the life and take the results the Holy Ghost brings, and what is the purpose it came for in this day, and where the work to be accomplished, and line up the life with that testimony. Why is the Holy Ghost who come for that purpose in this day, revealed by a prophet in the scriptures, not doing those things in them, and why don't they have that testimony? See what I'm saying? So when it comes here, no, this may pinch a little bit and hurt a little bit, but don't let it scare you from the meeting. I'm saying this because before there could be revival, the people's approach to worship and attitude must be corrected. The spirits must be lined up with the word. They must be focused exactly what they're coming for. You don't pray for 4 and 5 and 6 things and expect to get it. Every time you see them praying the Bible anyway, was one thing they had right there, zero the man was praying for. Exactly right. You see a man going to that bundle of prayer, spent to me, you can say he prayed to God? No. That's not praying. You have to see what you want before you even go down. You have to know what it is. And you have to think about it. And you know the age of fast foods and speed, everything is fast. Everything is shortcuts. Everything is designed to bring it easier and right to your mock. You know, where you don't have to go out your way to get it. So you're finding that what will be happening is that, say, people kind of rushing to get something and kind of, you know, maybe, you know, try to get it, something, maybe a little emotional. No. So now you get down there and you talk to God. Remember doing it as far as God is concerned, it's already done. But the thing is, Lord, you give it to me. You promise it. I know you said with you, but with me, I notice this, Lord. Now, you begin to notice in your life, and you did that, like I desired that many sisters who are not working on the housewives are going to be along too. Because you have many of them, and they in their home, and they get up in the morning, they just can't seem to get the work done. They go all day. They're working. They're tired. And then, you know, some nice sisters who are like real spiritual sisters, and they get married. And they lost everything. Turn different. Different game altogether. Until within them, they settle for, like, well, this position in the race now. Let me tell you. Susanna West will rebuke thee. Yes, sir. She had 17 children. Prayed 2 hours a day. Had no washing machine, had no electric light, had no electric iron, you know, had no dryer, had no refrigerator. they never just go to the grocery, they had no parlor on the corner. You just take the wagon and drive 20, 30 miles to make your groceries for the month. And come in, you're back, you see your back, like long ago, used to do it. You see? Sure, she didn't live in an age like this without pressure like us. Hell on the earth. Pressure in the mind. She didn't, sure, it was harder. Sure, her body was stronger. And sure, maybe I ain't expecting to have something to in this hall. And I ain't expecting to go back to a primitive life to try to prove them God didn't actually do that. But then, surely, that's a challenge in any age. And what I'm trying to say is, she had a channel. She got a hold of something that a housewife could get a hold of. That's what I'm talking about. And she had a purpose in heart. She was set out and determined to fulfill. And she was diligent in doing it. She could have made many excuses because of the situation, but it wasn't one that made excuses. As we read the history, it was more her exemplary life than the father's theology that influenced the lives of the children. And there I realized there's much personal ministering to be done to the people, because our people is overpreached. Our people have been overeducated in the message. And it's time that we need to talk to our people now and find out in their heart, have they understood? Have they caught a hold? Have they believed? Are they spirit-filled? Are they having the victory? And see if over-preaching them, over-educating them, have been able to achieve it. I say no. It has failed. I say if we had known half what we know, we had more love, we never lose the amount of people we lose recently. Simple. He's right among you. But by the grace of God, what we want to do, we want by the grace of God to really settle in meetings like this. I could sit, I could talk to you. I could read the scripture to you. Maybe I could tell part of a tape for you. Pray with you. Help you, instruct you. Some of you have inquiries in your heart. You have things inquiring the Lord about. Remember, that is in His Word. Remember, the answer is in His Word. Many of you say, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord. All of you come and ask the minister. Some of them things, in writing in the Word. Once it is in the Word, you have a Bible question, the Bible answer. Once it's something about the Word of God, the entire complete revelation of Jesus Christ having given to us in this day. That things I will not be able to tell you, you see the Lord about. Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? There are certain things, you know, should I move from here, go over here? Should I change my job? Should I do this? Those things, the Holy Spirit will help you with those things. Many people, the Holy Spirit has spoken to and refused the advice and the leadership, and today they are in trouble. Can't come out of it. Sometimes I try to be not dogmatic to people and tell them, do this for them to feel the control in them. Sometimes I say, well, if it was me, I wouldn't do that. I don't want to be involved. You, if you do that on your own, but I don't think I do with a God. I'll talk to some so. And they think, well, that means, you know, their liberty is still to do what they want, because you're not certain, but you don't want to tell them, don't do that. Next thing, they're following you. Next thing, you're going to dance them on a yo-yo. But before you told them those things, you just go down the Word and start to explain to them why, in the different areas, in different places, to let them see the picture from the Word, so they'll know it's not your thought coming. And then I say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And what happened? Especially if you talk to them and you already see the mind made up and they're only asking you for formality. Then the heart is already convinced to go in a certain way. What you say can't change it. Because some people come there too late too. They implicate themselves and get involved. And then they come. So they only come in to acknowledge or give information. And today they're in trouble. Today they're the cause of their own problems. But would people realize that the disobedience has been the result of the, has been the cause for their own problems? And if you change those, if you try to help them out of those problems, does that, have you helped them out of the disobedience? You know what I'm saying? That's why you see, when coming to counseling people, even advice, and these things, all the people who have come and sit with me, talk with me, ask me the advice, you know, I ain't too quick to run and jump and say this and that and the other. If I don't know, I say, wait, I'll see you next time. I can't see you now. See you another time. Some people get kind of, you put them off. And the prophet tell the girl, you want me to manufacture something and tell you? And then you don't want to pass, they don't help you, then they work for you. And you feel like they want to have something to tell you to help you. You can't receive it because you have that thing as a stumbling block to you there. Then sometimes again, when you ain't too sure, all you're going to do is let a little time pass, and time does reveal what your eye don't see right at the moment. And see, as a pastor, I've learned, many of you know, I don't let your pressure mean nothing. Especially when it comes to things that I don't know. Because I want to be sincere with God for you. Now, some people don't like that. But I know I don't feel the condemnation when I'm finished. Because I may feel sympathy for you if you end up in something, but I don't feel condemnation. But the problem is yours, it's not mine. And because people are impatient. Very, very impatient. They feel the world going to end. Like sometimes people come in the office, so, you know. Like right now we have a little situation. Sister wrote from the States. The situation, 18-page letter. 36 sides, 18 pages written on each side. So you know what's going on? When I begin to read it, urgent, set up a plane ticket, set up a gap place for a stay, different things. She is coming, you know, from over here who leave the church, supposed to go away. End up in some kind of trouble, come down here. And while it's so urgent, we could get ticket by a certain date, which is about 3 or 4 more days. And the same night, she want to go on Jeffersonville, see the prophet tomb, get some Hoffman head pictures, and different things, all in the same letter. I said, how you so desperate in life and death, and you want to go and see the prophet tomb? And where the prophet tomb is from where you is hundreds and hundreds of miles too. It don't make sense. Just yesterday, about 10 days ago, just yesterday, I'm hearing the sisters in trainer walking around, big air in here, caught up in a condition. So I said, listen, what is this big letter then? What is happening? You see, what I'm saying is, people is coming to you, the world gonna fall apart. Well, not my world fall apart, sure not. My ministry is falling apart. See, so. If you all gonna fall apart, you gonna have patience until I find out where your world start to create, where your world start to crack up, and where your world start to fall apart before I even get involved in your world. You see? And people don't like that because they don't realize there's things in them they like to use people conveniently when they want them, and when they don't want them, just put them foul to their life, or don't get them involved in anything that they don't want them to know about and keep control of. Just when they need them, they press the button, and the pastor button, and the pastor's at the function. Robot pastor. See? Let me tell you, that don't work. And when you see these things, it shows a cleanup of desires, of motives, of really from the depths of the heart, what you really are. What you really come up for, that you will not stop short of the promise. That if God called you today or tomorrow, and you know God have called you and God have come into your life and dealt with you with this word, Remember, we're not preaching Baltara Church, we're not preaching my ministry, we're preaching a message of the revelation of Jesus Christ revealed according to a promise in the Bible and sent to us by God and given to us by a prophet, vindicated by the Holy Spirit. So then, it means say, when that you get contact, what I am preaching is to contact you with that message, and if everybody backslides, you don't want to serve God, you're going to serve God, the elect. But I always say, what did you see happen? People comes in, get in a little group, get in a little clique, get in a little friendship, and that's the Christianity and right there, and they socialize the rest of their life on Thursdays and Sundays coming and going. And then the ones who get close to them have influence on their life becomes their spiritual leader and director. And if you say something on the pulpit and it offends the spiritual leader or the good friend, it offends them too. Sure. Because, and they don't realize how supple they've been taken away from the ministry that God put them under, where the word was ordained to come to them, and where they're following something else. And being the leader, they don't understand it and cannot get blessed. It don't ever turn out to nothing more than something social. And because of those things predominant, it have hindered the Holy Ghost from working in the church. Not in bringing the word. That channel, as far as God considers clear, God have enough opportunity to do it. But in getting down there and moving out among the people and spreading out. What people do? They soak up. I said, you want to see a burden for the loss? And it was so clear. How can you have a burden for your loss? You don't have a burden for our own loss. See? And to me, those are real manifestations of the operating of the Holy Spirit. If there's any other, tell me. When God would rather see bodily love exist than any church, any gift operating. Is that what the prophet says? So before a person can really even approach God for anything, the motive, the objective, God give it, the requirement to receive it, the grounds upon which God say you must meet with Him, the process that God determines to take you through, to bring you to that place, will even show the kind of submission that you are submitting to God fulfilling that purpose. And I say I've been convinced the hour is here for these things to happen. And I can't look for the third Paul to manifest until I shall see these things that is forerunners to the third Paul and activates the third Paul manifested first. So which manifestation? Now I know what the ultimate manifestation is, sure. But I'm talking about what is going to come to bring those things. If the Holy Spirit can't work amongst us in a measure to reach out and love and unity and one mind and these things, how are we going to reach out in that greater measure than that? And Brother Ram said, you want to show me the greater works? Show me the lesser ones first. Let me say, do the lesser ones first, we talk about the greater ones after. And I think we preach too much of greater works and never preach the lesser works. And we need to see more of the lesser works. And then we will see more of the greater works. So some of these I'm preaching is the lesser works. If we get the lesser works going, we're going to see the greater works move. I think the reason what happened to us, we strain ourselves to move the greater ones. Because we have that strength yet. And in a meeting like this, we talk to you, you can hear the word, and you ever sit and kneel and say, well, you know, in my life home, I find I don't get the victory as I should. I find, you know, I get up in the morning, my time lose, and, you know, sitting with my children, I don't know if I handle it right, so, and, you know, I do this, and I find my problems really impatience, and, you know, what I should do. You know, like some people say, Brother Bram, I have a temper. How could I get with this temper? Some people say, Brother Bram, you know, I find, you know, where we had a fight in the house? My husband's an unbeliever. You mean to go there? Should I go? I'm believing good. And you realize how it had things which were simple things that needed a word of wisdom right in there. And faith. Yet the people that believed in the message, following the message, never had to handle those simple things right there. Yet they know the denomination is wrong. Yet they know that was the prophet right there. Yet they know those truths in the Bible. Yet the man when he sees life, he rebuke that devil. The devil talking to you there. Rebuke that devil and different things. And here the poor wife, we work hard, holy, try to get the clothes together, children clothes, different things. Long time never take shout, nothing at all. I never saw he was selfish. On the corner, spent all kind of time. Never spent all time with the children. Grew up woolly now. And he shall have prayer request to the pastor to pray to save the children. And the hours of instruction in the home, as the prophet say, there was supposed to be spent training the child in the home, was not spent. But they tried to make it a job for the ministry. That's not a job for the ministry. That's a job for the home and the parents. That is irresponsibility. And if a person is irresponsible, then why would they have that attitude when they realize that God promised them the household, when they realize their calling in life, when what makes them a successful Christian is fulfilling the ministry that they are called to, and that is the ministry. And what would make them critical to sit down and criticize the next man ministry and they are fulfilling their own ministry? Then that makes them a hypocrite. Because they take the beam out of the eye and they try to take the beam out of somebody else's eye. And they have a lesser ministry, lesser responsibility with 5 children at home and try to create a man with 500 people. You know what I mean? And they have 100 times less to see about. No, we don't look at it that way. When we look at it that way, we see exactly our spirit and our attitude. And when we see what we do simple and carry along for so long and allow it to become so predominant in our lives, we realize how insensitive we were to the Holy Spirit. Yet we were talking about spirit-filled and revelation. And it just shows that we was not really living close to Him. This is where areas like these I'm talking about. What we have, we want more. You know, you can say, I have that and I have that and I have this. Sure. Say, yeah, you say, oh, who have money here? Say, oh, everybody put your hand. How much you have? 10 cents. How much you have? 50 cents. How much you have? $2. How much you have? $10. How much you have? $25. That man say, I have $5,000. See? So you have $5,000, you have $10. All that money. With different measures. Different, but then the power, when it comes to the power now, where we can buy $5,000, he can even make a down payment with 10 cents. Yet he may have the same desire to have the thing the man who has $5,000 have. Because the desire is not the money. Everybody wants a pair of shoes. Pair of shoes cost $200. This one say, give me for 25 now. You can't get beyond 25. What's I going to pay for 25? He said, I'm making $50 and there's $200 to pay for it. Then we say, well, I'll pay an installment. He say, you can pay $50 down first. Pay a quarter of it down, $50. Then he say, well, you can't even pay 10% at the down payment. You see? She said, so you want to be able to run my business now then? You know my other commitments I have? You see? Now you have the desire, want it, you like it. You know, you don't see yourself wearing it, how nice you look at it, and you don't have a dress, you see it matching already too. But you have no money to buy it. And this is what happens. People have a desire to see God use them. People have a desire to see God, you know, help them raise their children. People have a desire to see God, you know, use them, maybe to manifest a gift of the Spirit. People have a desire to see, you know, God give them a testimony that they could really, you know, be have honor about and do something noteworthy that could influence somebody else's life. But you got to get the thing first. They're going to give you that testimony. And when that confronts us, my time is going. When that confronts us, then what are we going to do? We have to face it. So, you see the depth we're talking about? Not depth in the word now, depth in our souls now. Not the kind of depth we're talking about now. We're digging deep in the word. There is some soul digging now. Deep in our souls. And let's really... We need to bring those things out. So tomorrow,
We have a time for prayer tomorrow together. And we're trying to use our time for the best that we could. We say, no, we're not hurried about nothing. And these meetings are designed with time as a factor will have to be observed because of, you know, having the daytime and work time, people's responsibilities and these things. But I admonish you, sisters, you did so well today, and you know that God can help you and give you grace that all your work, you can get home, fix up, you can get up early in the house, do the things, get the chores put aside, what you can leave back for later, leave back for later, come up, and you brothers that can make it out, I need the support of some of the strong brothers when the time come. If I maybe have missed one, they in the daytime could pray with the brothers, Brother Nancy here, Brother Winston here. That's good that they could be here, and some of these brothers who've been around, and Brother Steve, who can make it because of the job. Some brothers got the job, they can make it. They can help pray with the people, and you know, maybe to lead a couple of songs or something, or that'd be whatever little it is that we could do for our people. We try to make it for our people in a way, and channel everything towards where the need is among our people, that we could see something move amongst them that could really bring a lift in their homes, a lift in their personal lives, a lift in the relationship with one another, a lift in the services, in the place that is needy, that we could come to the place when God could look, he could see every area being met, that the Spirit could do nothing else but empty himself out amongst us. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to start inside of us. I know we need to be taught certain things. I know we have questions to clear up before we can even talk about praying for the Holy Ghost. And that's why I want to get some of these areas, let you know your attitude in praying, your understanding, because it must be with faith, and faith is a revelation, and the revelation what governs your approach. You see? And you need more of it, pray for more of it. Because remember in the Bible, there was fill and refill and refill. It was never the fill and that's the end of it. No, the Holy Ghost is always there to fill and refill more all the time. You'll never be too full of the Holy Ghost. And then we want this meeting, I say, for participation in the event. You know, we'll have to ask questions and different ones, and give opportunity for different ones to speak from the seat. You know, different questions they had, different things pertinent to their own experience, pertinent to their home, pertinent to their situation. And remember, if I may had to explain a situation and may say, look, Sister Dayson at times, so and so and so, that don't mean nothing. Whereas Sister Sanchez, that just saying something to edify or clarify or open up to help and assist. And we don't want to have too sensitive, you know, we want to come free into the Holy Spirit. We can see this flow out, and know so many sisters come down, may not be going up, they have sisters meeting, and we have the film with the prophet. I hoping that I'll be able to have it set up maybe sometime. I just need to acquire some equipment, and I put it in the library there. And like in between time, these services, when we finish here in the evening, if you want to stay back and watch one of the films or something, you know, Bible School testimony, different one, but Sidney Jackson testimony, but called Brother Mitchell testimony, who was there and had evidence of the Holy Spirit calling them out in the prayer line, but Sidney Jackson testifying about the experience with Brother Brahman in Africa, deep calling from the deep 20th century prophet. Many films that surround the message, it'll be there, some of the magazines, different things will be there. If you want to stay in between, in the tabernacle and pray, you're going to go there in the library, we'll be open there to watch it. Whatever, we can have it, try to set up. So for some who come down in between and may stay over and pray, that we could have this being inaugurated, being set today, as you begin today in this time of praying and coming as if a closer walk, a deeper experience, a richer life in Christ, a more spirit-filled life in this hour. And we're going to, whatever we speak, whatever we read, whatever we do, would be geared and directed to build up the weak things and strengthen the things that remain. That they would not die, that our works could become perfect before God. He could say, that our works are perfect before me. All right? Shall we all stand? Remember tomorrow, 11, I promise I'm going to be right there on time, and I'm going to, you know, just maybe I could want to read a letter here for you, just want to place it. Just as I come out the gate, come to go in the car, I noticed this was in the mailbox, and a little letter, this is a car wrote me, and I took up the envelope, and I look at it, it's like that, had two canoes there,
you know, like out in the water, and I look at her and say, Maya, I said, it hasn't. And then she was writing, and she asked a prayer for Sister Nash, who's 90 years old. She is a member of the Jeffersonville Tabernacle, and they're kind of close, and Sister Jean and Sunrise and herself had visited there and spent some time there, and some time back, and you know, your sister's very ill at this time, and really believing God for healing. 90 years old, but you know, she's hardly right, and she wrote to Carl asking, and Carl told her she's going to write the church and ask her to pray because she knew about these services. She always get the tapes and always keep informed. And then she wrote a little portion about a brother she was telling me about in Canada, because French speaking in the area where she is, Quebec. And she said, the brother I was talking to about when I fellowship with you last time in your home, well, I talk about the seven trumpets, what a blessing it was, and it would be so good if they could read it. Well, he offered to print it, and if I would translate it. I waited on the Lord a few weeks, and I felt to go ahead for their sake, because they need to hear this in Quebec. It's life or death to them. I started January 20th, and I'm so blessed in translating it. It's like the whole thing is opened up to me. In simplicity, a year after almost, I received the word in my heart in Ohio, but I was so worried about my father, I guess, that it blocked me for a while. She was in Ohio and just preaching. She never even saw it until when she went back home. After coming back home, she was a year after almost. And when it dawned upon her, what was really being preached? And then all these things coming out. And she was testifying to this French-speaking brother up in Canada there. They have a church there. And the brother was so moved that, you know, he asked her if she would translate it. And she said, sure, she would translate it in French. And she said, after she prayed, and she felt led to go ahead. And she gave her testimony how she was blocked for a while about understanding it, and said, but I believe God will heal him if I sacrifice to leave him to my father in the hospital to hear the word of God, and he sure did. Even tonight at work, you know, she works in a motor car assembly plant. Tonight at work, I was doing some translating and was so blessed. The brother said, I have good news for you. I finished the first part. I was so glad. He said he was blessed too in doing it. He said he started part two, and the pastor said, if you don't get it now, don't worry, you'll get by the end of the services. That's why I was saying the tips. And the pastor said, you know, because it's kind of, you know, the first service is kind of deep. So he says he's anxious to see you, know your thought, where it's moving up to. Pray for him, Brother Alain, French name. I do some of it at work between cars. He said, imagine the Lord making time for me. She's working in that motor car assembly plant, assembly cars, and between assembling the cars and them, what part she has to do in it, taking time off, translating, then going home, reading it over, get to him, they type it out, getting to put it in French, you see. And then he wants to get to meet us, and she says, I just want to say, imagine the Lord is making time for me, and go over it at home. At break time, just 14 minutes, the brother came over, and I was in the part where the birds still build the same nest year after year, and the lion and man evolute. When I had to share some of my blessing with him, and the wonderful things God has helped me by coming in contact with this blessed word, he was blessed hearing, and I am so thankful to God for the ministry he has provided for his hungry chosen few. You know, I realize we humans make mistakes in grammar and whatnot, but there's no mistakes in the word. It's so perfect. My goodness, I feel like it's thus said the Lord. And I believe it, because Brother Ram said the Bible have dusted a lot of keep still. I didn't consult you to translate it. I felt to just go ahead that you would not object. The brother had even asked me if you agreed. Well, I said, I'll take the responsibility, for I believe you wouldn't object. He said, maybe it could hurt you, but then I thought no, because it's the word. As long as it falls in a hungry heart, it's okay. I trust I made the right decision, and God has sure blessed me. And still going over the seven trumpets again. God wishes to bless you and your family forever. Amen. So, you know, she is doing her part there. And, you know, everybody we're just all trying to hang in there what we can do by the grace of God. And may God honor our feeble efforts. May he see it coming from a sincere heart. And may, as we take time off like this to get in his presence, in his spirit, that we're seeking him for direction, longing for protection, as we, you know, just get into the secret of his presence. And Brother Bram said, oh, Branham Tabernacle, he said, you lost that secret. You had one time when it's a wallowing disorders. He said, well, may God cause that new crop to grow again. You mean to bring back that power, to bring back a joy in Zion one more time. And that's what we're looking for. That once more, Lord. Amen. It's going to be a real dying out, but it's a promise in His word. And we know it will come to pass. In times of trouble, let's just sing as we get ready to close. You thank God for being here?
Amen.
You think it's worthwhile coming?
Amen.
Amen. In times of trouble and inward struggle, and it seems the end of the week, taking His own. Oh, may we take it to all our hearts. May we remember every word He has spoken to us today. I only need to feel His hand in mine. Yeah, Jesus, I'm in Your. Oh, that's where we are, waiting, trusting, believing Him.
Where I find the strength I need to carry on.
In the secret of His presence,
secret of His presence, behold in it beauty, O Lord.
Next verse.
In God's word I'm reading how my life is leading.
That's what we're looking at.
Onward to that beautiful shore. I greet the saints at heaven's door with a love I've never felt before. What joy is waiting there for me? But until then, I'll stay in the pavilion.
Oh, that's a promise, Lord.
Find the strength I need to carry on. In the secret of Your presence, behold in Your beauty, O Lord.
Oh, we'll greet the saints at heaven's door with a love we've never felt before. Do you know what heaven's door is? When Jacob saw that ladder, he said, "This is the gate to heaven." That's this message. We are heaven's door, a door open in heaven that the bride can go up right into at the end of that seventh age. A revelation coming forward of Jesus Christ. Oh, that there'll be such a love shed abroad in our hearts to greet the saints as we gather at heaven's door in this hour, getting ready for our translating time. May God fill us, every heart filled with the Holy Spirit, your lamps trim and clear, that you can just feel the consecration come into your heart, that spirit of consecration. Take it into your home, take it among your family, testify in sweetness and humility. Amen. Pray without ceasing, lift up holy hands, walk in your kitchen, lift your hands, lift your voices, speak His name throughout your dwelling places. Amen. Create an atmosphere in your home. Amen. We create when we come among one another here. I tell you, we'll see the sick healed by a word. Hands will even have to be laid on them. We'll see the love of God come and just take the evil out. I'm believing God for these things because God has promised it. It's not too hard to ask for these things. I notice even our sister here, Sister Pope, I see her coming with the gentleman. That is your husband, sister. Amen. That the brother had a mild stroke. Amen. The prayer request came up for him there, and I think yesterday sometime. And I saw her coming there, which is late, but nevertheless, sitting for a few moments here in the house of God. May God be gracious and touch him and maybe lift your hearts and encourage you all in the home. for having faith and being concerned and knowing that this is the right kind of place where we can talk in simplicity, where we can just get down and talk heart to heart with one another as a people with one spirit and one mind and one purpose. See God really move. Our brother and young lady here living a wrong life for these past few years, but they've been testified the word by Sister Pearl there, and she coming over in the assembly recently and testifying, brought them, and they want to get married and get their lives straightened up and have a little boot there. They're closing the boot today. I say, how you think you want to go this way? You'll have to make a lot of different decisions. You can't sell this in your store and the other things, and something that you think you make your money by, and you've been going along, and you have to readjust your life now, and you know, you ain't commit yourself yet. You don't have to maybe, you know, but they're willing. And from yesterday we came out of service and the brother was asking direction. I trying to fumble and fumble to give how to find the place, how to walk on which street to find, and brother Steve was right there. He says, where's your matter? He says, I'll be in town tomorrow. I'm gonna leave my work, I'm gonna come to my tabernacle and pick them up, get on time and coming and seeing him the end day here, and you know, everybody doing the little part and who come and set the equipment here, and so Monica, you know, she's gonna come in, and but I'm moving inside, I take some time off, so Alvin can be here and he's gonna play the guitar, and then she come in, and you know, everything is just happening that we can start right, start the way God is pleased, and don't be too hurry about anything. Don't be too anxious and just let go and let God have his wonderful way. Our sister here having to leave to everyone, but may God bless them and give them the heart desire while you go, just with a prayer in your heart. May God be gracious unto you, and say, Sean, many who difficult come service, they can just come in here. Day off, come in, it's so nice. We have to have, you know, it's just going to fill the space. It's going to fill the empty space that some of us have that helps strengthen us and bring us to a place. And may God bless it, is my prayer, and may it really cause us to have a closer walk in this hour. As you bow our heads and close our eyes, just want to ask Brother Neville to ask God blessing this missile.
Father, Lord, indeed we are thankful for being in your divine presence today, Lord. Taking time off from all the natural chores and the things and the cares of this world, Father. Just to enter right in, Lord, into your place, Lord, that you want us to be in, Lord. Lord, we are thankful, O God, that, Lord, is the inspiration, Lord, through the word that has come to us at this time and this season, Lord, to bring our hearts in the right condition, Lord, knowing what you have in your great thinking, Lord, to fulfill in our lives at this time. Lord, we sense your presence, your Holy Spirit pushing us into this place, Lord. Lord, when we think, O God, of the word revealing your nature, your character to us, Lord, your being, your person. Father, Lord, we know, Father, that we are relating with the true and living God. We are walking and we are talking with you in this hour, Lord. How thankful we are, Father, knowing that Revelation 10 and 7, Lord, is to come and make known the mystery of God unto us, Lord, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to song the mystery of God. Shall be finished, Lord. And we know, Lord, as down through the ages you have been revealing the portions of yourself in part, your nature, how you work, how you want us to be, Father, and the full mystery has been made known in this last day. Lord, you are not mysterious no more to us, Lord, and to see you have come down, Lord, and made a full revelation of yourself known unto us, Lord. And that's why we come today, to relate with you, Lord, to talk with you, Lord. Like Enoch, Lord, he walked and he talked with you. Like Abraham, Father, he was a friend of God. He was your friend, Lord. He knew how to relate. He knew how to walk. He knew how to talk with you, Father. And Lord, we are seeds of Abraham, Father. Lord, with that same faith, Lord, you are placing our heart through your word. Lord, we will be your friend. Not only your friend, Lord, but your bride, Lord. The one that you could come and relate with. Lord, that our heart, Lord, will not, Father, be shamed before man to confess, Lord, our sins, our wrongs. But how we ought to be shamed before you and blush. To know many times we fail you, Lord, how we ought to come before you. Knowing it's our Lord that we are failing. It's our Lord we are not coming to the expectation.
Thank you, Jesus.
We see many are living in this hour, Father. Lord, take us back to our various homes, our jobs, wherever it is, Lord. May the atmosphere we create when you go back where we come from at this present time, Lord, we could go back, Lord, that others could sense, Lord, there's a difference. There's something different happened from this morning till this evening, Father. And Lord, may you go with us, Lord. Continue to bless your man servant. Anoint him. We know, Lord, it takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we see the anointing, the eagle, the man, the lion, the ox. Lord, a full measure of it being revealed in this last day, Father. And Lord, we know it's that same four guards is guarding this word at this present time. So we just want to step right in under the very anointing, Lord. And Lord, be prepared for this hour. Have full control as we commit our lives, our families, our friends. Lord, each and every one into your hands, Lord. Even the sick, Lord. And this evening, Lord, may you heal them, Lord. May you touch those, Lord, that come for a closer walk. We want to leave here, Lord, completely changed, Lord, completely delivered. Every time we come, we want to be closer drawn to you. Just have full control in Jesus' name.